Please come forward, come close together, please, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Innaka antal 'alimul hakim. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح ما بعد. We're speaking about the adherence to the sunnah of our mashayikh, and yesterday also in our candlelight conversation with Mufti Azaz we discussed some beautiful stories on how our teachers and our elders have always given so much importance to implementing the sunnah in their lives. We were speaking about Shaykh al-Hind yesterday. The last story we talked about was how he would take a fruit, of the new fruit of the season, and present it, smell it, put it on his forehead, thank Allah for it, and then give it to a young child. And this was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, right? How do we handle the first fruit of the season? Next story. Mia Asghar Hussain rahmatullahi alayhi narrates that Shaykh al-Hind heard I was sick, and he came to visit me. He shook my hands and turned around to leave. I retorted, was this the only day you could find to act upon the hadith? Shaykh al-Hind smiled and narrated the hadith. The visit to the sick should be the duration between two milkings. Subhanallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Kya ho raha hai? He is, Shaykh al-Hind is coming to say salam to him because he's sick. And the honor of having such a great scholar coming to your house to visit you. But then he says, salam, how are you? One minute. And then he's leaving. So now he says, he knew why he's leaving. Because he also knew that this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to keep the visits to the sick short. So he's telling him, did you only find today to implement that hadith? Why do you have to follow the hadith today? How about you just sit with me for some extra time? Instead of saying, no, I came, I sat with you a few minutes and I'm gone now. Because I enjoy your company. So then he smiled and he said, the hadith is, the visit to the sick should be the duration between two milkings. When you milk an animal and then do the second round, that duration is just too short, is short. Similarly, we do not want to inconvenience the sick person. And the point of visiting the sick is to bring happiness to them. So when a person visits them and now they have to serve us food, their family has us is burdened with serving, making chai and tea. The poor sick guy hasn't had us anything to eat for the past 12 hours, 48 hours. But now the family is all day just serving outsiders. So that's where we have to start thinking. Am I actually becoming a burden for the family, or am I becoming helpful? What I could do is go buy groceries, ready-made items, drop it off at the house. Alhamdulillah, that way has actually helped them. And I would love to visit, but I know it'd probably be a source of inconvenience. So my du'as are for the sick person. And make du'a, send a voice note of du'a. The power of du'a, my dearest brothers. This du'a, all of us have, inshallah, memorized. As-salallahu al-azim, rabbar ash al-azim, inshfiyak, la ba'as thur, inshallah. This du'a, read it 7 times. And just leave a voice message to that person. It's powerful. Just by your conviction that Ya Allah, your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites this dua 7 times on a sick person, Allah will most definitely cure him from everything besides death. So it's got to be true. I'm reading that with that conviction. You will see, subhanallah, the person will immediately feel a difference. Eid al-Adha came upon Shaykh al-Hind while he was in a political prisoner of the British. He was detained all the way in Malta, far away from India, where Muslim detainees were under constant surveillance and strictly banned from carrying out their religious duties. This was the old Guantanamo, you know? Malta under the British rule. Now, sacrificing an animal in Eid al-Adha is not even mandatory upon a traveler. When you're in Hajj, you don't sacrifice Eid al-Adha for Eid al-Adha. You do dam for your dam al-tamattu, dam al-shukr. You thank Allah for allowing you to do Hajj. Yes, that's there. But you do not sacrifice for Eid al-Adha when you're in Hajj. But Shaykh al-Hind was not to be deterred by any of that. He protested with the warden to be provided with a sacrificial animal. SubhanAllah. This is under the British rule. He's telling the warden, I want an animal. I'm sure they never were even served meat. Now he's saying, I want a full animal for me to slaughter for Eid al-Adha. In India, Shaykh al-Hind sacrificed many animals every day and was very passionate about upholding the sunnah. It is said that anything that comes from the heart never goes unheard. Dil se jo baat nikalti hai na? Whatever intention you have in your heart, it never goes unheard. Allah is listening. It's true, right? How many times you and I have felt that? You're just thinking of something? Yesterday I would pray namaz in one masjid after Taraweeh. I went to go give a talk. And I would pray my two rakat just there in a one side hall. Finished salam. Another brother was praying too. He looked around, he looked at me, he said, Allahu Akbar. I said, what happened? He said, wallahi, you have no idea. I heard you're coming and I wanted to say that I really wanted to meet you. It's been over a year. I have to talk to you about something. But I said, where am I going to be able to find you? You're going to be in the front, then you're going to leave and I'm not going to get a chance. What is the chance that we're sitting here? And then we spoke for 15 minutes before the bayan started. You know, alhamdulillah. What is it? It's the person has the intention. Your intention will pull someone over there. You're going somewhere else and you go somewhere else. Then after that, subhanAllah, I said, I was coming back, it was 12 o'clock, I was feeling hungry. I said, let me grab something at Thai. I don't know what's going to be open next to the masjid. There happened to be a store. I said, let me see if it's open. I go inside, it was open, but there's a group of people sitting there eating. Now I realize that the hunger did not bring me into that restaurant. It was that person who was sitting there. He needed to talk to me. And subhanAllah, we spoke. I have seen this in my own life, literally, when I go travel, even locally or out of town, I end up going to a program to give a talk. And I'm like, I wonder why I came to this masjid. Yani kya hai? Like, you know, people say, really? You went all the way to that masjid? You went to that musalla? There's not many people who come there, etc. But then a brother will come and speak to you with such desire and such sincerity and ask you for help on something. Can I give you a ride to the next masjid? I really need to speak to you. Then it clicks. I didn't come here because I wanted to. This man is the reason why I'm here. He spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Ya Allah, I need something. And Allah azza wa jal will make the sky go down and the earth go up in order to fulfill a person's need. This is the power, my beloved friends, of intentions that come with sincerity. This is real. Yani, we are not walking. We do not walk ourselves. Instead, we are being led. So you and I are being led by the intentions many times of other people. So imagine if you and I make this intention. Ya Allah, I need something. Constantly, many questions come about, how do I find a mentor? How do I find a good spouse? How do I find... These questions come every day. It will come through the power of your dua. Right now, Friday, keep as I'm speaking, make dua in your heart right now. Ya Allah, this is my need. You don't have to raise your hand to make dua. As I'm speaking and you're listening, you can continue to make dua in your heart that this is the Mubarak blessed time between Asr and Maghrib on this final Jum'ah, more than likely, of Ramadan. Oh Allah, these are my needs. The more sincere we are in our needs, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will make things, amazing things happen. So now he's sitting there inside the jail in an island called Malta off of Italy. Right in the middle of nowhere, man. Go check it on the map. Like, what? What is he doing here? That also 180 years ago, approximately. He wanted this animal. He said, the warden and other jail officials were so impressed, they bought him a sacrificial animal for 7 guinea, which the sheikh most happily paid for. The sunnah of Ibrahim, okay? And the warden brought it. Because he said, if you're asking, we'll make it happen. The sunnah of Ibrahim a.s. was most likely revived for the first time in this Darul Kufr since the downfall of the Ottoman Empire. See? I'm sitting in the island of Malta since the fall of the Ottoman Empire. No one has ever done this sunnah. So I want to do this sunnah to be getting the reward of whoever revives a sunnah at a time of the corruption of the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reward of, in one narration, one shaheed. Another narration, 100 shaheed. The sunnah is everything. To make the, 100 shaheed. We might be dying at our home, peacefully, surrounded by our kids and whatnot. However, inshallah, you'll get the reward of 100 shuhada if you made an effort to revive a sunnah when no one else is doing it. There's so many sunnahs you could do. One sunnah, for example, of when a proposal is set, the sunnah is, do not delay. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought it with 3 things. When the salah time is ready, if jama'ah is ready, until the salah time is there, start. Number 2, when the janazah is ready, the body is there, quick, move it. Don't keep it in the wake. And number three, when the proposal is set, do not delay the marriage. So imagine someone says, but I have to wait for 8-9 months for all my family to get visa. And with this administration, we don't know when that ever is going to happen. Right? So now we're going to just delay it. Everyone is, yani mom and dad are saying, no, everyone says you can't. But a person says, no, I am going to do this to revive the sunnah of Rasulullah. The proposal is set. Why are we going to wait 7, 8 months, 6 months? Absolutely not. We can get it done in a week. For what? We can even do it quicker than that. That is the adherence to the sunnah that we saw in our shayukh's time. I mentioned a story of the same author. The author was writing about his teacher, Sheikh Zakaria. He himself, he saw Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayh in an ijtima. He comes home, he tells his daughters, he tells one of his daughters that your nikah is after asr. She said, okay. Nikah to who? She's not like some, they know each other. She says, no, they know of each other, of course, but he decided that at that time, that I want my daughter married today after asr. Mawlana Yusuf is here in the ijtima. So she tells her dad, Ammi is not here. My mom has gone out. He said, it's okay. She doesn't have to be here. Then she said, okay, can you give us a little time so kapre kharid lume, I can get some clothes. So he said, ye kya hai? Ye nahi pehne kapre? Are you not wearing clothes? What do you mean you need clothes? You have clothes. Don't be ungrateful, like we would say. You have clothes. What do you mean I need to go get clothes? In 1 hour, the nikah took place. Shortly after that. Now if you look at this, subhanAllah, honestly, if you look at these people, the lives that they had, wallahi, the lives that these men and women had, compared to the lives that you and I have in the destination wedding after spending $350,000. Hum masjid mein qasam kaakar, we can take an oath in the masjid and say that their lives were far more better, more happy, and more fulfilling than any of this stuff. Because in barakah there is sukoon, in sunnah there is sukoon, in sunnah there is barakah, in sunnah there is happiness. Everything comes through sunnah. It's beautiful, right? I mean, we have to hear these stories to get inspired. That you don't need to sit and plan things out 7, 8, 9 months in advance. If you got something good, alhamdulillah, don't delay. Especially when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this example for marriage. So now you say, but no one's doing it. What is my family going to say? Exactly. When you stand up against a culture and you do a sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for this very purpose, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you rewards that are unbelievable. To sit and do tahajjud for 8 rakats, cry for 20 rakats, and do dhikr, and to sit through a long talk and stay awake drinking coffee after coffee after coffee, honestly is way easier than doing one thing I just said. To follow a sunnah when it's not trending is much harder than being in the masjid. Because guess what? Being in the masjid is trending right now, isn't it? All masjids across the globe. Masjids have people that usually were never here. Right? Randomly, after Asr, we're not here having talks on a random weekday throughout the year. I'm here, you're here, we're here with our bedding, mashallah. Look at the vibe of ruhaniya and spirituality here. That's all across majority or a lot of the masajid. So right now, this is a very trending thing. I'm not saying it's wrong. This is good. This is a mawsam. This is a mawsam of rahmah. This is a rahmah season. But what I'm saying is going against the grain is very hard. And that's where the reward lies. That I'm going to follow the sunnah at all cost. On the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, Shaykh said the takbir in a loud voice and sacrifice his animal. He showed that where there's a will, there's a way. Even the desirable acts can be carried out in the most inconceivable circumstances. Allahu Akbar. This is so true. When we say, Ya Ram, kya kare, we can't do it. They didn't. I know I'm thinking of my own incidents. You think about your own incidents. When you left out a sunnah, you left out something which was hopefully not fard, but let's just even say, for the discussion's sake, you left out fard. Then a person says, why did you leave it out, man? It was just too hard. It was not possible. You ask the person, to what degree did you make an effort? To what degree did you plan? To what degree did you ask Allah? When we invite people, come for i'tikaf. First knee-jerk response, I have work. Or I have wife. Or I have kids. So then we always tell, brother, are all these people who are sitting here bachelors or divorced or childless? What is it supposed to mean? But that's a knee-jerk response. And I say, hold on. Why don't you say, all right, thank you for reminding me. Inshallah, let me work on it. Yes, I have wife. Yes, I have kids. Yes, I have job. Yes, I have school. I have all that stuff. But I am going to make an intention and I'm going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate it.
And honestly, I promise you that I will make dua after every salah. That Ya Allah, I made niyyah for 3 days, i'tikaf, make it happen. But I give you my word that I will be sincere in my request from Allah. And if I'm able to make it, you'll see me. And if I don't able to make it, you know that I wasn't lying to you. I tried my best. That's all we're asking. That's all that's asked. That anytime you hear something beneficial, who's going to come for Fajr? Right? Who's gonna make effort on bringing people to the masjid? Who is going to donate or raise money for some cause? And if it hits your heart, say, I'm ready, inshallah. Can I do it? No. Does it seem like it's going to happen? No. Is everything falling apart in my life? Yes. How are you going to do this? I don't know. But I do know Allah knows. So I am going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after every salah, at the time of suhoor and iftar, that Ya Allah, I want to accomplish something. You make it easy for me. My beloved brothers, I want us to remove from our mind they say never say never. Yeah? Similarly, when you're dealing with the matters of deen, let's not say this cannot happen. I can't. I'm sorry. No, you don't say that. Say, inshallah, I will try. I will try my level best. And when you say trying your level best, that means you make all the means, you utilize all the means. But then the most powerful thing, the cherry on the top, or not even the cherry, something way more important than the cherry, maybe the cheese in the lasagna or the cheese on the pizza. Right? What kind of pizza is there without cheese? Right? That's what is that? What's the top layer? What is it? Oh no. Iftar is a little bit, inshallah. Right? What's the top layer? Dua. I gave the example of dua with cheese. That meaning that just like a pizza without cheese, not good anywhere. Similarly, they say, I want to do it. I want to do it. I did this. Then you ask how much dua you made? None. Then that means you didn't do it. You know where we get this powerful ayah reflection? From Surah Tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, when the munafiqeen were told, chalo, let's go in Tabuk. And they came up with excuses. They said, it's too far, we're not ready, it's too season, it's too hot, the dates are hanging. And so please forgive us. Hum koshish kiye. This thing, honestly, it should make us cry. Because this is a reflection of, at least for me, I'm thinking about myself when I read this ayah. How many times someone said, let's do something, and we're like, yeah, okay. And then the guy's texting you, calling you, bye, let's go. I'm not able to make it. I'm sorry, I tried. Allah knows whether you tried or not. Let's not lie about it. Allah says about these people in the Quran, about the hypocrites, وَلَوْ أَرَادُ الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةٌ. If they actually wanted to go out with you, Ya Rasulullah, in the expedition, then the proof would be in the pudding. You would have seen them prepared. You don't have a bag, you don't have a horse, you don't have a camel, you don't have a sword, you don't have anything, and you say, I'm koshish ki, I tried. Lekin Allah knows better. I wasn't able to make it. How often this happens to us when we tell other people that, yeah, I tried but it didn't work out. The question is, what does it mean try? What does trying mean? Allah says, look at this ayah, وَلَوْ أَرَادُ الْخُرُوجِ. If you really wanted to go out on an expedition, you would have prepared. Then how come you didn't prepare? وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَافَهُمْ. Allah Himself did not want them to come out. فَثَبَّطَهُمْ. So He made them sit down. He made them sit down in Medina. You're a hypocrite. You will always be a hypocrite. I'm not going to let you go and ruin it. Go out with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَقِيلَ. And a declaration was made. Yani not that you can hear it. It's in taqdeer. Allah decreed. اِقْعَدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ. وَقِيلَ اقْعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ. Go sit down with all the people who are sitting. The bench warmers, bismillah, you go sit there with the bench warmers. You're not allowed to go. This is what I said. قَدَبْ اُرْتَيْنِ اُٹْحَيَ جَاتَيْ. You cannot make a move unless Allah wants that move to happen. We're sitting here today because Allah wanted us to be here. We're not sitting here because we're special. We're not sitting here because we're pious. We're not sitting here because of something else. We're here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to be here. He invited us. So make sure you don't get de-invited. Make sure you don't do any such thing which will upset Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says, from today you're gone. That's what it takes. Maghrib, you get a phone call. I'm telling you, Maghrib, you get a phone call. My sunnah i'tikaf, salam alaikum, I have to go. But what happened? Good, some phone call came. Well, we don't understand that we have to connect the dots. Where did this phone call came from? Nothing is happening without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, some problem may have happened, but why are you responding in this manner? Why are you giving up? Why are you saying, oh, that's it, I gotta break my i'tikaf? Maybe something we did earlier in the day. Maybe we made a comment. Maybe we made a suggestion. Maybe we looked down upon somebody. And because of that, the punishment comes right back at us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us even destroy our own i'tikaf. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is an example. So this is why we said, make sure we don't do anything to get de-invited. not only for this year, forever. That, Ya Allah, you allowed me to be here. I wish, I pray that I'm always allowed to be here. So what we learn from Shaykh al-Hind's story is, no matter what situation you're in, if you genuinely want to stay away from haram and want to practice a sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen. And if He doesn't make it happen, you will still get the reward. The same Shaykh al-Hind, same Malta, same prison, Jum'ah, the very famous story of Jum'ah. He would, today, blessed day of Jum'ah, all of us prayed, Alhamdulillah, say Alhamdulillah. He was far greater scholar than all of us put together. Far greater in his love for Allah and his Rasul probably than all of us put together. Imagine his passion for Jum'ah Salah, if this is what his passion is for Eid al-Adha Qurbani, even though he's a traveler in prison. So imagine Jum'ah, how he's burning to pray Jum'ah. He goes and he opens the gate for the jail. This is what his habit was for as many years, 2 to 3 years he was in prison, I think so. Every Friday he would take a bath with the freezing cold water that the wardens would give him, small bath he could. Get ready and try to, you know, comb your hair with your hands. You only have one pair of clothes, maximum two. Wash out whatever you can. And this is my prep for Jum'ah. And then he would go to the gate, the cell door, and he would shake it. And what is it? What's the door's open? It's locked. Then he would say, Ya Allah, I have done every single thing possible in my hands to establish Jum'ah. I prepared myself and I went to the door. And I try to open it, but it's locked. Now, with a heavy heart, I'm going to establish Salatul Dhuhr. Because you cannot pray Jum'ah on your own. You cannot pray Jum'ah with one other person. He did this. He's not a fool. He's not a kid. He's Shaykh al-Hind. He did this every single Friday. Just in case one day the door opens. Or at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that honestly, honest to God, as they say, I tried. How often did you try? How much did you try? Ya Allah, I tried every Friday. I tried every Friday to establish Jum'ah. But you had willed it not to happen, so I didn't. But I never blamed your taqdeer. I never blamed you to say, Ya Allah, I couldn't establish Jum'ah because it was not possible. Think about how many young men and women today, especially young boys, baligh, mature boys, are attending high schools and colleges 4, 5, 6 years. From the time they reach bulugh, puberty, till they get out of the school educational system. And they go to schools and they go to colleges where there's no Jum'ah. Not one, not two, but 6, 8 years of no Jum'ah, except for Black Friday, Christmas Friday, you know, summer holiday. That's it. I'm telling you, and what's the excuse? We don't have Jum'ah. What is this supposed to mean? How you don't get a zameen mar gaya. The conscience has died. Ghaira imaniya has died. How can a Muslim honestly survive missing 4 years of Jum'ahs? How could you survive even missing intentionally one? You're intentionally missing it. When was the last time you protested? You don't need to protest. Write a letter to the superintendent. Go meet the superintendent of schools. And I will end with a story, subhanAllah. A young boy who had recently migrated to this country, who couldn't speak very well English, who spoke with an accent. He went with me for a 3-day khuruj. 3-day in the path of Allah. He got moved, motivated. He said, oh my God, I need to do something. I said, what do you want to do? He said, in my public school, there's no Jum'ah. I want to establish it. He came from overseas just a few years ago. I said, Alhamdulillah, go ahead. I'll help you. Whatever you need. So he went straight to the, you know, next day when he went to school, he went to the principal's office. Asked, they said, oh, we don't know about this stuff. Establish Jum'ah, what is that? After that, they said, go speak to the superintendent. Go this, that. So he didn't stop. He went, he escalated it. Then he came to me, he said, I need a letter from you, O Imam. So I wrote a letter. I talked about how important Jum'ah is. Take it. I gave it to him. And I found out all the laws that Bill Clinton in his time passed on the legal right that Muslims have to establish prayer, even in schools. So I said, let's not use this right now. Let's not start arguing and fighting here. Let's try to take it in a nice manner. But in case if it hits a wall, then we can pull this out. Subhanallah, he comes back to me after 2 days and he says, she's ready, she's okay. She said, I'll give you a spot, but I have a question for you and your imam. I've been in the school district for 30 years. We have thousands of Muslims, or at least hundreds of Muslims in 30 years who have gone through our 4 schools. Huge schools, yani massive schools, 3,000 to 4,000 students in the high school. In 30 years of being in this school, I have never received a request like this. I want to know, I saw your imam's letter is very strongly worded that you have to pray Jum'ah. I get it. But can you please tell me how come in 30 years not a single Muslim has ever asked this? What answer are you going to say? Are we really, should we be protesting against anybody right now? Or should we be protesting against our own nafs and our own evil sins? Whatever we're facing is because of our own actions. When the Muslim youngster and the Muslim community does not care about Jummah, then what's left, man? What's left? That's the last thread. And majority, it's not a stretch, majority of youth don't pray Jummah because majority of schools don't have it. Whose fault is that? Right? Where's the fikr? Where's the concern? That's my point. Subhanallah. So when we don't have Jummah, then we're really in a very bad shape. Nabi alayhi salam says, in the gist of the hadith, the one who misses Jummah multiple times, three times in a row, tahawunun biha, taking it lightly. You know you got locked up somewhere, like Shaykh al-Hind. Tahawunun biha, taking it lightly. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he say? He may die as a, if I remember the two narrations, I'm not sure which one was here. He may die as a Christian or he's a Jew. Or the second was that his heart gets sealed. Whichever it is, the point is these are extremely harsh punishments. That missing Jummah for 3 days, three times, taking it lightly, will basically seal our hearts on kufr. That now the khutbah doesn't make a difference to us because we've already missed so many Jummahs intentionally because we didn't think of it as anything. So anyone who is in that situation, you can make tawbah now. If our sons are missing Jummah, repent today. Ya Allah, I will never do this. I will go pick them up from school and bring them to the local masjid. I will establish Jummah in the school, ideally. And if not, I'll take them out. Whatever it is. Are you suggesting they don't allow me to take my son out of school and nor do they allow me to establish Jummah in school? Ab kya karna? Ab kya karna, bhai? What should you do? Tell me. That's the point. If you have to even ask me this question, there's a problem. You're telling me that going to a public school is worth it while missing 4 years of Jummah? Then where is your faith? Where is your faith, man? Where's my faith? This is the really painful statement. Why are we even asking this question? Establish it. There's no questions asked there. After hearing this hadith, the last thing we got is Friday. That's it. We're going to make niyyah, inshallah. Say inshallah. That we will try our best, every single youngster, young male in our family. We will make arrangements for their Jummah. We will speak to the school districts. We'll speak to the school board. We will work on electing Muslims into the school boards as well. But we will speak, be vocal, and we will not accept that Jummah is not happening. And if that's the case, Allah forbid, then we'll say, I would rather do homeschooling. I'd rather him do Islamic school. I'll let him do anything else. But I will never, while I'm alive as a dad or a mom, watch my son grow up not praying Jummah. Because in the future is nothing but horrific. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdi, shalala, ilaha illa, anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Let us proceed downstairs, inshallah. We have about 5 minutes left for dua.